Joseph, hi, Joseph.
Oh, sure.
AFC 11.
Okay. Oh, 11:30?
10:30.
Oh, okay. All right. So, what can I do for you?
I see you're talking about God.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah, I believe in God.
Do you?
Yes.
So, where are you from, Joseph?
I'm from Zimbabwe, South
Africa. Zimbabwe, okay. There are, I know some very godly men.
Right.
In Zimbabwe. I'm pretty sure it's Zimbabwe. I'll double check, but yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Yeah. So, how long have you been here?
I've been here since 2014.
2014.
Yes.
Did you come here to study, or yes? Okay. What are you studying?
PhD in history.
PhD. So you did your undergrad in Zimbabwe?
Yes, and I did my master's here.
Master's here as well. Wow. Okay. So do you hope to teach? What do you hope to do with your PhD? Are you going to go back to Zimbabwe? And what do you hope to do with your degree?
A few years of teaching and then politics, I guess.
And probably, and politics?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you told me you believe in God. What does that mean to Joseph, right?
Yes,
what
salvation.
Is that? Okay. So, faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
How did you come to know the Lord?
I was born in a Christian family.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was raised that way. We used to go to church every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
My parents are Catholic, of course.
So you grew up in the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Okay.
But I just feel like I've been reflecting lately that I have kind of lost myself in God's school.
Huh.
Some of the things that I've been partaking in.
Okay.
Do not really reflect the way I was raised.
Okay.
Simple. You know, when I came here, I didn't drink.
But now you?
Now I drink.
Yeah. So, Joseph, what do you think you have to do to be saved, to make yourself right with God?
I think I need to surround myself with the right people.
Okay.
Which is kind of difficult, you know, you are surrounded by a community that, you know, whenever they want to socialize, they want to hang out, you know, to manage.
So, Joseph, if you were to die today, obviously I don't want that,
okay? Yeah.
But if you were to die today and stand before God, and God asked, Joseph, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would your answer be?
He should allow me to his kingdom because in spite of my stray ways recently, my faith has never been shaken. I've always believed that he is my savior, and everything that I do, you know, is a manifestation of his love, his blessings.
Do you think you have to be a good person to be welcomed into his kingdom? You do? Okay.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you a few questions. Let's see if you're a good person. Okay? Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Okay. I have as well. Have you ever stolen anything? Even maybe as a young boy?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you've started drinking when you came here. Now, the Bible doesn't condemn drinking. The Bible does condemn, God does condemn drunkenness. Have you ever drank to the point where...
Yes, excessively.
Excessively, okay. You're on a campus, lots of lovely people here. Have you ever looked at a woman and had a sexual thought you should not have?
Yes.
You have, okay. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Use God's name to express disgust or excitement or did not give his name the reverence it deserves in using his name?
I think I have.
Okay. Now, Joseph, everything you admitted to, I'm guilty of, okay? So I'm not pointing a finger of judgment at you. But here's what you've admitted about yourself just now, okay? You've admitted that you are a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, a drunkard, and an adulterer at heart. Joseph, let's say you had a daughter. Okay, my daughter's here on campus. That's one of the reasons why I come to this school to minister, is because she's a student here. Let's say you had a daughter, and a young man came over to take your daughter out on a date. And as you're talking to the young man, you learn that he is a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, a drunkard, and an adulterer at heart. Did you let your daughter go out with that man? So does that sound like a good person to you, Joseph? No. No. And again, everything you admitted to, I've admitted to too. But Joseph, the Bible says that no one is good. God's standard for goodness is moral perfection. Jesus said you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I've never lived a perfect day in my life. I don't meet that standard. But that's his standard. So if you were to stand before God, relying in part on your own goodness to be welcomed into his kingdom, all God is going to see is that you're a liar and a thief and a blasphemer, a drunkard and an adulterer at heart. And he's not going to allow you into his kingdom. Okay? The good news is this, Joseph. Our goodness is not a requirement to receive God's forgiveness. Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners. 2,000 years ago, Joseph, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, and without sin. God in the flesh, born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life, Joseph, for some 33 years, from cradle to grave. Because he was and is God in the flesh, he knew no sin. He lived perfectly, in perfect obedience to the law and the will of God the Father. But even so, at a time appointed before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ voluntarily went to a Roman cross to suffer and die a death he did not deserve. He did that to take upon himself the punishment men like you and me rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. And Jesus did that for the people of God, for those whom God determined before the foundation of the world that he would give to his Son to be part of his forever family. And then again, after dying that death he did not deserve, 3 days later he rose from the grave, forever defeating sin and death. He's alive today. And he will return at a time that only the Father knows, no man knows. When he does return, Joseph, he's not going to return as a baby in a manger. He's going to return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. In fact, the Bible says that the blood of his enemies will drench the hem of his robe. He's going to come with fury and fire. Our only hope as sinners, Joseph, is if God saves us, not if we save ourselves. It's if God takes our hearts of stone that love our sin more than we love God, and gives us a heart of flesh, that he literally causes us to be born again, born from above, and saves us. And Joseph, if God does that miraculous work in your life, he will forgive your sin. He'll forgive your drunkenness. He'll forgive your adultery. He'll forgive your blasphemy. He'll forgive your lying and your stealing. He will forgive all of your sin. He will remove it as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember it no more. And you will have the assurance of eternal life in God's kingdom, not because of Joseph's goodness, because you have none, but on the basis of God's goodness, his mercy, his love, that would allow his son to die on behalf of a sinner like you. And what God requires of you, Joseph, is the same thing he requires of me and every other human being. It's not that you try to work your way into heaven, because you'll never make it. It's not that you try to bribe the judge with your goodness, because the Bible says God will not be bribed or mocked. What God requires of you, Joseph, is to throw yourself at the mercy of God through faith in Jesus Christ. To put all of your trust and your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Not Jesus plus religion, not Jesus plus your good works, not Jesus plus making amends for your sins, but putting your faith and your trust in Jesus alone. And that really is the main difference between what the Bible teaches and what the Roman Catholic religion teaches. And I was raised in the Roman Catholic religion as well. The Roman Catholic Church says, believe in Jesus, but you also have to confess your sin to a priest. You also have to pray the rosary. You also have to do good works. You also have to spend time in purgatory to suffer for the sins that you didn't make up for in this life. All of those works will never commend a person to God. The Bible says, Joseph, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. That's what makes God's love so amazing. That he would choose to save even one of us, let alone people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And Joseph, there is a reason, okay? I don't presume to know God's mind. I'm not a prophet, okay? I'm not a mind reader. But I know God is sovereign. I know he's in control. I know there's nothing that happens by chance. There is a reason that you and I are sitting on this bench today. You from Zimbabwe, me from California, moving recently to Iowa. There's a reason why you and I are sitting on this bench today and you're hearing the gospel. I plead with you as your neighbor, as your friend. I plead with you to turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. So I did a lot of talking. What do you think about that? It's about 20 after, so I want to make sure you have time to get to class.
I appreciate the book of the text. It came at the right moment. I really needed it.
I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Yeah. All that you have said really is therapeutic to my soul. It means so much to think about. It's unlike my daily conversation with friends. It's different. Spiritual depth, and like yourself, I appreciate that you are here in this moment having this conversation.
Amen. Do you have a Bible, Joseph?
Yes, I do. I do have my New Testament Bible.
Okay.
All right. My office.
Okay. Can I give you my phone number?
Yes.
Could we do